From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Don't Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
West Coast running out of puff has given a good account of himself, but Accelerate keeps powering on. Accelerate, 2.5 lengths coming away to beat West Coast and Isotherm.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
One to get odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century into second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wonder Godot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
Mendelssohn is on the inside. Diversify is given way. Here comes the finish. It is going to be a photo finish, and I think it was Discreet Lover. Manny Franco waves his whip in victory. Thundersnow is right there on the wire, too.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back together again, not in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios this morning. We are taking the show back on the road again to one of the companies that sponsors this program, and that is Central Equipment right here in Lexington. They're on Red Mile Road, and we are based in their showroom, surrounded by all kinds of tractors and lawnmowers and power equipment, whatever you need for your farm or for your home. They have it right here at Central Equipment, and we are happy to have you with us this morning, listening all over the world on our website at horseracingradio.net or tuned in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, across the country, or Sirius XM, Sirius 219 XM 201. JT, always start with the countdown to the Breeders' Cup. 6 days, 7 hours, 18 minutes.
Yeah, it's getting really close now. Used to be like 162 days. Now it's 6 days.
How does this go so fast? This happens with our countdown to the Derby, too, right?
Yeah.
It's here before you know it.
I remember doing shows at Saratoga in shorts. Now we're sitting at Central Equipment. They got snow shovels over there. I don't want any part of a snow shovel.
Oh, no, that's brutal. No way.
Yeah.
But they have plows, too, I'm sure. Get a plow. That would work, too.
We need a horse first.
Well, we can no shortage of horses. We can find those. We're going to find plenty at Churchill Downs this next week. We're going to be there all week long, beginning on Tuesday morning with the first of three Breeders' Cup countdown shows hosted live from our Red Brand tent on the backside of Churchill Downs. All of those shows presented by Hillendale Farm and sponsored locally by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. They'll come your way 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings. On Friday and Saturday, we segue into all of our race coverage, exclusive coverage of every Breeders' Cup race here on the network. And you can tune in beginning Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern.
Yeah, looking forward to the morning shows. Love doing those. Love doing them during Derby and Breeders' Cup. And it's the best time to be out. And all the owners are excited and the trainers are nervous. And everybody's running around and want to watch their horses go. And it's a great amount of energy in a very small space.
I know what you like more than anything. You like the fact that when we talk about our coverage on Friday and Saturday, the fact that it's presented not only by Red Brand Fence, but by visitbarbados.org, and you love to talk about Barbados.
Well, of course. I'm sporting my Banks beer, of Barbados.
I noticed that. Good beer, by the way.
Yeah, very good. It's unusual for you to find a foreign beer that you will actually drink.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm very proud of Banks for supplying you with
Baron approved.
Baron approved beer. That's a small number of beers are Baron approved.
Yeah, well, listen, we will be there Tuesday to kick off the coverage, but we're going to be talking a lot about the horses that were pre-entered this past week, and it was a record number of pre-entries. You had a lot of foreign participation. And by the way, that's going to be our poll question of the morning. I'm curious to see what you think about this. Our poll question today is, of the 14 Breeders' Cup races Friday and Saturday, who is going to win more races? Will it be the U.S.-based runners? Will it be internationally-based runners? Or will they end in a tie, 7-7? What do you think?
Oh, I'm going to go with the United States of America.
Yeah?
Yes. And that's unusual.
I think the Euros are loaded.
The Euros are good, but I think we have a lot of horses that are going to be tough. Plus,
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Millridge is recognized for raising and selling racehorses, having raised or sold 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 34 Grade 1 winners since 2000, including Breeders' Cup contenders, Oscar Performance, and Analyze It. This year's Millridge consignment at Keeneland November offers broodmares from Judmont Farms and their great families, along with leading breeder George Strawbridge and his foundation-building families, all selling without reserve. Oscar Performance returns to Millridge to stand stud following the Breeders' Cup and will be available for inspection starting Monday of the Keeneland November sale.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting 3-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Catholic Boy. Catholic Boy has taken the lead on the outside. Mendelssohn is full out toward the rail. It's 5 lengths back to Bravazo, who's now third. Then Vino Rosso and King Zachary on the outside. They're coming down to the 16th pole. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers. Mendelssohn was second, Bravazo was third, and King Zachary was fourth in 201.94.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. 1 week before the Breeders' Cup World Championships, 6 days actually, as it kicks off on Friday. And we are kicking off this program live from Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that was Larry Colmus with the call of the Travers Stakes at Saratoga. The run Happy Travers that was won by Catholic Boy, and boy, did he look good that afternoon. He's hoping for a similar performance coming up next Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Classic. You're going to hear from his trainer, Jonathan Thomas, to give us an update on his progress right around 9 o'clock Eastern time, so stay tuned for that interview. But Jeff Birch and Fritz Wittemann are with us now. They are with NTRA Advantage, which is the program where you can get discounts on so many products that you can use on your farms, including those John Deere gators and tractors and mowers, which, let me tell you, guys, I have one of the John Deere's, courtesy of NTRA Advantage, and thank you very much for that. I have one of those, and it is a 62-inch zero-turn mower. And, Jeff, I was telling you during the commercial break that it has cut down my mowing time in half at my farm. It is a beast. I love it. Thank you.
You've got to buy a bigger farm.
Then I need a bigger tractor. I need a bigger mower.
Right? We'll work with you on this.
It is tremendous. I absolutely love it. What a great product.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I know the folks in Cary, North Carolina, and out in Olathe, Kansas will be pleased to hear that.
Tell us about this relationship with John Deere. We were talking about that during the break, too. It goes back to, what, 2002 with John Deere and the NTRA?
That's right. That's when the program started, was back then. And the initial assignment from Deere was to try to get more tractors on the thoroughbred racetracks. So that was the initial assignment that they gave us. And the success rate that we've had there, every year they gave us more and more of the equine world. And today we represent John Deere and some of our other partners. If you've got a horse, you've got an opportunity to get a discount. So it's the paint horses, the Morgan horses, right across the board, everything.
Yeah, what a great program this has been. Fritz, you and I were talking about this program years ago. I remember you and I sat together doing a show as a handicapping contest. So we were out in Vegas for one of the NTRA handicapping championships. We were up at doing the show at West Coast time, so we were on air at 5 o'clock Pacific time. We couldn't find any coffee. Nothing was open that morning. It was rough, but we spent some time talking about NTRA Advantage back then. Great program.
It is. If you're a horse owner or a member of any equine organization, basically, and we represent, like Jeff said, probably 700, 800 organizations. As long as you're a dues-paying member, you can take advantage of these discounts. And there's a full-time program and there's a cash bonus program. The full-time is real simple, and it's the majority of my people here in Central Kentucky. You own a farm, you run it as a business. If you board, you breed, you train, you sell horses. If you want to pay cash or use John Deere standard credit, you're going to get the massive discounts. And the discounts range from 14 to 28%. As I told you, your Z-Track, the 900, is the biggest discount we have at 28%. The cash bonus side is a lot less, but what John Deere allows you to do is take advantage of the special financing. So that's another option that a lot of farms like. And, sometimes they have 0% for 60 months. Sometimes it's 1.9%. On the full-time, the standard financing is quite high. It's like a credit card. But, it's a huge program here. And
2-year-old Arazi journeyed across the pond from France and came to the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile at Churchill Downs, boasting a stellar record of 6 wins from 7 lifetime starts, including 3 consecutive victories over France's highest level of competition. Sent off as a slight favorite over the speedy, undefeated Californian Bertrando, Arazi got off to a tardy beginning and found himself lagging far behind in the early going, and the stage was set for one of the most scintillating performances in the history of the Breeders' Cup.
Bertrando stunned at the inside with the move here of Arazi. He's pouring it on. Just incredible move as they come to the top of the stretch by 4 now. And then it's Bertrando, who is now a discouraged second by the back. It is snappy landing, and they're coming down to the finish here. Here indeed is a superstar. Arazi, absolutely brilliant. He was taken under a hard hold to win it here by 5, and he could have won by 10, perhaps.
Arazi had flown past his competition as if they were standing still, and his stunning move to win the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile remains a most memorable moment in Breeders' Cup history.
This is the story of one of the once-living legends of the American turf who, unhappily to relate, outlived his legendary status into an ever-lengthening twilight of economic hardship and poor health, and who, at the age of 69 in a Jacksonville, Oregon nursing home, met the Grim Reaper after a prolonged illness on August 16, 1968. For many years, he had been a hanger-on at New York racetracks, waiting for that one more chance which never came, and dreaming of the glory of the 1920s when he was, quite literally, the toast of Broadway. In that golden age of sport, he was to thoroughbred racing what Babe Ruth was to baseball, Bobby Jones to golf, Bill Tilden to tennis, Red Grange to football, Jack Dempsey to boxing, and Johnny Weissmuller to swimming. Each was the symbol and the very epitome of their particular sport, their names household words. He first saw the light of day, did our man of the day, so to speak, in Groton, South Dakota, in November 13, 1898, of Norwegian ancestry, and he grew up on a ranch in American Falls, Idaho, where he took to riding horses as naturally as the proverbial duck takes to water. He rode his first official race on January 25, 1918, and won, the first of 968 wins in over 3,600 mounts, who earned nearly $3 million, an enormous amount in that day and age. His lifetime winning percentage was 26%. Remarkable. In 1919, his contract was purchased by Commander J.K.L. Ross, for whose Canadian-based stable he rode such stars as Milkmaid, Billy Kelly, and Sir Barton. He later rode for Harry Sinclair's Rancoca stable, and it was in the silks of this stable that his star shot across the heavens of thoroughbred racing with meteoric rapidity. He led the jockey list with Money One in 1921, the year he won the Belmont aboard Grey Lag. And in 1923, the year he won the Derby and Belmont with a leg up on John E. Madden's Zev. His 1923 records of 39 stakes wins and nearly $570,000 in purses were to stand as riding records for more than 20 years. He had a nasty spill at Saratoga in 1924 and a gallstone operation as well, sidelining him for some 8 months. He had trouble getting mounts on his return to the saddle, but to get the mount on Flying Ebony in the Derby, he did, and he won in the slop on that one at Churchill. That same year, he won the Belmont while aboard Mad Play. In 1927, he won the Belmont on Chance Shot for owner Joseph Widener, president of Belmont Park. It was largely under Widener's aegis that he was restored to good standing in March of 1928, after he had been suspended and banned from all tracks in the fall of 1927 for his ride on Bateau in the Pimlico Futurity. In spite of that suspension, he was the leading money-winning rider of 1927. After reinstatement, he had the stomach and weight problems, and he subsequently hung up his tack, as it were, to race and train horses. He encountered financial difficulty in that venture and ultimately bowed to creditors by dispersing his stable in 1929. He came out of retirement to ride for William Woodward Sr. in 1930. That year, he was aboard Gallant Fox, who chalked up a triple crown. That year's win in the Belmont was his fifth in that event. Both rider and horse retired in 1931. Our man came out of retirement for a second time to ride in 1932, chalking up 13 wins. And then, final retirement and the beginning of a long road to abject obscurity. He refused all offers to ride in Europe, and had a brief fling as a chanteur at the Stork Club in New York, plus a stint in radio and as a movie producer, none of those with success. In 1938, when back in the game as a trainer, he saddled stagehand for wins in both the Santa Anita Derby and the Santa Anita Handicap. He was that season's leading money-winning trainer. In 1944, he turned to breeding, but that proved to be a disastrous venture. He once said, quote, "Money and me are incompatible." In 1953, at the age of 55, he got himself down to riding weight and had 10 mounts and won one of those. That victory, to phenomenal acclaim, I might add, was at the old Jamaica racetrack on Long Island, October 14, 1953. The effort to make weight had taken its toll, and from then on until he left New York for Oregon, he lived in a donated room over a Long Island restaurant, eating with friends who relived his past glories. The story of this paragon of saddlesmiths, replete with its ecstasies and agonies, its apogees and perigees, its zeniths and its nadirs of human accomplishment and endeavor, as though reaching out for that one final straw of recognition, is indeed a most sad commentary. It does not detract one single scintilla from the composite accomplishment of this man, accomplishments which stamped him indelibly in giant letters on the pages of racing lore. Our subject of this dissertation was immortalized through the pen of Damon Runyon in the 1920s. Runyon, often watching him ride Pendant Oud in testimony to this man titled, A Guy Named Sandy. He was Earl Sandy.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9-grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay, I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner, Shaman Ghost, will stay in the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queens Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost!
Midnight Storm leading halfway down the stretch in the big cap. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Edina, standing in Kentucky in 2019 and available for inspection now.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
Racing fans, come to Santa Anita this weekend for great racing and good times. The Grade 3 Autumn Mystics for three-year-old fillies at a mile on turf will highlight an 11-race program. Join us on Fridays for the $1 Stronic 5, featuring a record low 12% takeout, and be sure to play the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot every day with consistently big payoffs and the chance to hit for a life-changing jackpot score. Special early first post time on Saturday is at 12 noon. Admission gates open at 10 a.m. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They are coming to the top of the lane. Dark Prince hanging on. Gunmetal Grey now puts his head in front. Hefe continues to make ground from third. Possum, and he's battling seven off the leader. They're at the top of the lane, and Gunmetal Grey goes on for home. It's Gunmetal Grey taking the lead and kicking on with it. Hefe tries to make a race of it from second, but it's Gunmetal Grey clear by six, and here's going to be another one for Drayden Van Dyke. Gunmetal Grey winning it easily. Hefe finished second. It's getting close here for third. Let's see. Dark Prince will just hold third, and then a photo carbon zero and parsimony.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Gotta love live radio. Never know what's going to happen with live radio, but we apologize for those technical details. Technical issues.
Well, they're details.
I'm having some technical details over here. Yeah, we apologize.
So two big bullets to fire, John. Really, I suppose the countdown starts now, more or less, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's probably started a bit earlier than that. But, yeah, I mean, Enable Breeze this morning with Frankie, very happy with her. They've got to fly on Friday, long old journey. But and the other boy, Roaring Lion, he's taken the QE2 very well. He wasn't in love with the ground, never really travelling, but he was playing around on the ring yesterday and seemed very happy, and he's done a couple of canters. And you know, they're two lovely horses to be taking. We're perfectly aware of everything we face there. It's completely, you know, different climate, different situation. They've got to travel well. I think that's one of the key things, that your horse travels well and they eat well and drink and they arrive hydrated in good shape. It's a very important aspect.
And how important, Churchill Downs, is it a track that will suit them?
Well, Churchill Downs is, you know, it's a good turf course. It's your, obviously, it's your 3-turn mile and a half. It's not like Woodbine. It's not like Belmont. Not big sweeping track. But, you know, they're two very nice horses. It's obviously a 2-turn mile and a quarter for the dirt running out of the straight. But the question on the dirt is how you handle the kickback. It's not really so much how you handle the surface, it's the kickback.
And praying not for rain, I imagine that is the one thing you really don't want. You don't want it soaking.
No, and I think I have spoken to the owner and saying if it comes out sloppy, I don't think we would be running. I just don't think it's something we put that horse through, running on a sloppy track at the end of the year when he's done everything he has. So let's hope it's a nice, pleasant, sunny day and a dry track.
How important that Enable goes in as a fresh horse, having had just the 2 runs this year?
Yeah, she's free. I think that helps. I mean, a lot of horses obviously go on to the Breeders' Cup a little bit as an afterthought, and you could say Roaring Lion's been on the go since February. He hasn't had a holiday, and he hasn't a mid-season break. Normally, if you're going for the Breeders' Cup, it probably is the wise thing to have a mid-season break. I don't think Golden Horn, he finished second. He was beaten by the ground and the 1.5 inch of rain, and it was deep and loose and rough, and he hated it. He wasn't beaten by a lack of freshness.
And Roaring Lion, I mean, what can you say? His record this season speaks for itself.
Yeah, he's been an incredibly tough, resilient horse. He's got bigger and stronger with his races. And I think he's mentally grown up as well. He was quite a playboy, and he enjoyed life. Spent a lot of time on his hind legs just playing. He's always had a great sense of humour. I didn't always share it, but we get on very well now, and I just love the way he's got tougher with his racing and harder and straighter.
I mean, the classic is the ultimate, but he's got nothing to prove. We all know this is it. This is the final curtain call.
Yeah, it's like being lobbed into the Colosseum, isn't it? With the, you know, the Lions normally won in the Colosseum, didn't they? Yeah. But we know it's a massive test for a horse, and it's not something that was thought of until quite recently. But I'm clear that he'll give it his best. It's just how you handle the whole kickback. That's the big issue.
And finally, John, what would it mean for John Gosden to come back in a couple of weeks with another Breeders' Cup win on his CV, or even two Breeders' Cup wins on his CV?
Everyone likes to be involved in something like the Breeders' Cup, and to have a winner is illustrious. But I'm aware of the task ahead of them, and the journey, and the change in environment, and the change in racing style, and the change in many things. So we'll just see how we go, one step at a time.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere, or visit centralequipment.com.
HRRN is your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in for both days of racing, Friday, November 2nd, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 3rd, beginning at noon Eastern, for total coverage of every Breeders' Cup race. Live from Churchill Downs, the Breeders' Cup World Championships, only on HRRN. Presented by VisitBarbados.org and Red Brand Fence. Go to HorseRacingRadio.net for more information and to listen live.
All right, we are back, right? We're back. I think we're back. We're live. We're living color. We're at Central Equipment in Lexington. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Jeff Birch, Fritz Wideman, they're with NTRA. Again, apologies for all of those technical issues here this morning. We kind of stumbled out of the gate a little bit, but that's okay. We've regained ourselves. Back in stride. Look out. Runs ahead.
It's only a matter of time before we get to the wire first.
Absolutely. All right, so here's what we're doing. We are talking about NTRA Advantage and the benefits you can receive by being a member of NTRA Advantage, a dues-paying member to NTRA, and doing that with Jeff and with Fritz. We are at Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington, surrounded by John Deere's. And, Jeff, before we got cut off and kind of shifted gears a little bit there. You were talking about some of the benefits and the advantage that, people can have when they get involved. And it's not just about John Deere. There are other products.
That's right, yeah. The way the program is set up is to work with corporate partners that provide essential services or products to people who are in the equine business. So we've got John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Office Depot, and if you think about Office Depot, don't think just about printers and paper. They do everything, all the back office stuff that's there, so break rooms, etc. And anybody that's engaged in the equine business, they'll come in and do some audits and work very hard to save you money there. We've also got Nationwide Insurance as a partner, and they've got a really strong horse trailer insurance program. Suncast Commercial is one of our partners, and they make outdoor furniture, waste management products, all sorts of wonderful things to help you with your operations. One of your sponsors, Red Brand Fencing, that's also one of the partners that's with us. And the other two big ones are Clearspan and Double R Stalls. And if you've been down to Gulfstream or out to Laurel Park, you can see those tents that they've put up as stables. You know, they think of them as temporary, but those are permanent structures.
Laurel's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Oh, it's what they've done out there is spectacular.
Yeah, we were all really there is. Last week. Fritzy, you came by to say hello last week, yeah. Too. You and Jeff both, and they've done amazing work at Laurel Park.
It's just phenomenal what the Stronach Group has put into that and really brought to life. And I think that Maryland Racing is feeling very positive as a result of it as well.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about the fact earlier before we were cut off there that this is a program, NTRA Advantage, that people can take advantage of, not just here in the United States, but all over the United States, Canada. And they can do it not just in central Kentucky. They can do it anywhere, including Maryland, for example.
That's right, yeah. Some of our biggest states really are not Kentucky. We do a lot of business out in California, all through the Northeast. And if you start thinking about the other part of the horse world, the other parts of the horse world, one of our biggest partners is the American Quarter Horse Association. So we work with all the different associations to bring these benefits to their members.
Yeah, that's a fantastic thing because even though it's the NTRA, you have all these other breeds now that are involved in this program and can save, you know, thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's right. As a matter of fact, you know, we're right now, since the program started in 2002, we have the members that have taken advantage of it have purchased $950 million worth of equipment, paint, the rest of it, through this program.
Wow.
We are expecting, hopefully by the middle of next summer, to break $1 billion in sales that are out there. And over the course of that time, over $165 million in savings has taken place. So if you think about the numbers that are there and that savings for the industry, it really, this is a program that helps the whole equine world. And it's not just the savings that the members are going to get. We at the NTRA Advantage Group then get a percentage of every sale that we reinvest into all of the sports that involve horses. So we'll do that through advertising. We'll do that through sponsorships. We loan equipment to events. However, we can help make the business operate better and better and better.
And there's another layer to this whole discussion, too, and that's the legislative side of things, Fritz. You were talking about that as we were kind of waiting to come back on the air. A lot of benefits to people around the country and throughout North America.
Absolutely. On the farm equipment,
it's, yeah,
you know, you're looking at a 20% depreciation. So,
yep.
Like I said, I get a lot of phone calls late in December. People want to take advantage of that. But, you know, we've got a phenomenal legislative team. You know, Alex is very strong, Mr. Waldrop, and, you know, Keith and Joe Bajigalupo are up there. And we've got a great lobbyist, and not to mention what we pulled off for the paramutual end for the players.
Yeah, huge.
We play a huge role throughout the nation with the legislative deal.
Have you seen that increase in handle directly related to that new legislation that you talked about for the players?
Definitely have seen an increase. Churn, less signers. I mean, I think the numbers were startling. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
Keeneland reported 95% drop in people having to go to an IRS window.
Wow.
Yeah.
95%.
Yeah, the big deal was where we were getting penalized. If you were playing a 10-cent superfecta, IRS was playing it off the 10-cent bet. We had to finally explain to them, but they're playing a $200 ticket.
Right.
They're playing a $250 ticket. And I can remember But my first stint at the NTRA when we got Mike Maloney involved, but that was like back in 2003, 2004. So it took 13 years of working and working and working. And, you know, Greg Means with the Alpine Group, our lobbyist up there, just had to keep pounding away at the Treasury. And the Treasury finally got it. You know, we weren't on a level playing field. Vegas was totally opposite. And we're saying, well, why can't we get to Vegas? You know? So, no, it was a huge deal. And you're going to see a press release out, I think, soon, talking about what the impact has been nationwide.
I wish it was retroactive.
So you've had one signer, and it was before the legislation was changed.
Yeah. I've had more than one, but yeah, that would have been amazing. It's a fantastic thing that you guys did with that. I mean, it really makes a difference to a lot of people that are serious players and put a lot of money through the windows, and it makes total sense to those of us who play, but it didn't make sense to the IRS for whatever reason, and now you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, not to mention, you know, we run the National Handicapping Championship, National Horse Players Championship now, and you know, it's one of the biggest events, and we got the top 600, 700 players in all of North America playing the tour and everything, and it's been a big benefit.
Yeah, that whole program has grown leaps and bounds from where it was when it first started. And I know that was the goal, right, to make it bigger and better. And it continues to grow every year.
Every year, yeah.
Yeah, it's a special thing. Talking with Jeff Birch and with Fritz Wideman from the NTRA, we are at Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. And, yes, back on the air. And, guys, we have, let's see, literally 8 cups of coffee surrounding us here this morning. Both Jeff and Fritz showed up with a whole bunch of coffee for us, and believe me, we're going to need it after this start to the show today. No doubt about it. But looking forward to what the future holds for NTRA and for NTRA Advantage as well. How do people get a hold of you or NTRA Advantage? How do they learn more if they want to do it?
There's in all of advertising, there's an 800 number, and I don't have it off the top of my head right now. But I know they can call me.
That's why I pointed to him. I didn't remember it either.
I should have the script in front of me, but I don't have it.
I left my phone in the car because I didn't want it to bother us. But they can call me directly here in Central Kentucky at 859-422-1202. That's direct to my line. So
all the ladies are going to be writing that down. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Always leave a message. You know, we it's amazing. I was adding up the other day. I go through thousands of people calling throughout the year, trying to get things done. It might even be more, and then take the other staff. I mean, he mentioned AQHA. That's one of our biggest. So Steve Driscoll in the Central or in the Midwest, he gets hounded. But it's a great program. It really is. And when you say nothing runs like a deer, it's true. I can tell you, Mike, that we have some people that will call me back after 2 years and said they'd gone to a competitor and said they made a big mistake. Yes, deer can be a little bit more expensive than some of the competitors, but if you look at a 5-year window of servicing it and getting taken care of, Deere makes it so easy to make an oil change, an air filter change. The other products, they got to take the whole thing apart. And over a 5-year period, you're not going to get that savings that you get with Deere. So it's a big, big factor.
I'm ready for an oil change on my new zero turn. Why don't you come to the house and show me how to do that? If it's so easy, why don't you show me?
You got the Central boys here. You can have them come down.
I'll tell you, after running Chestnut Farm for Mr. House for 10 years, and we bought a John Deere tractor right away, used the program, and amazing. That tractor looks like brand new. And of course the guys that work at Chestnut Farm that are still there now for Mick Ruiz, they take excellent care of the equipment, but I've never seen something hold up so well and you know, totally reliable. Never had a bad day in 10 years. And you can't say that about other products.
Yeah, it's an amazing product.
So, yeah, it really is.
All right. Well, guys, it's been a great visit. Really appreciate you coming by. Sorry for all the technical difficulties. I think you're right, Fritz. Maybe we were sabotaged by Kubota here this morning.
Well, we appreciate you having us out here, and we look forward to seeing you at the Breeders' Cup. And we'll have the John Deere Turf, and it'll be a great weekend.
And we'll look forward over the next few days to get all of your true insights into the horses that are going to be running. It's real exciting coming up next weekend.
Yeah, we should mention, too, that our coverage of the turf and the paddock reports around the turf and the mile are all presented by John Deere on our coverage. So, guys, thank you so much for that, and thanks for all your support.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
And, of course, you can visit NTRA.com to learn more about NTRA Advantage and all the great programs and, of course, that handicapping championship. So many ways that you can benefit from being a member. We encourage you to do so now. JT, we heard that rejoin clip. coming back from the last break of Gunmetal Gray breaking his maiden at Del Mar back on August 22nd. He is owned by Jerry Hollendorfer and by West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry Finley was set to join us about this time, but because of those issues we had with some of the things earlier in the program, he is going to join us later in the show at 9:20. But we did bring you that interview with John Gosden talking about Enable and Roaring Lion. And let's face it, I mean, when John Gosden runs a horse in the Breeders' Cup, he better pay attention, and he's got two really good ones there.
Yeah, well, John, having trained in the United States for so long and being, you know, such a tremendous trainer here and in England, you know, when John brings a horse to the United States, he knows what it takes to win a race here. He knows the kind of horse to bring. He's very successful at the Breeders' Cup, and you have to respect any John Gosden horse that comes over.
Yeah, and he's a guy who trained in California for a long time. Weren't you stabled right next to him?
I was stabled close enough to go in his office and sit there and listen to him talk to his clients in the morning, and it was a real education. It was like going to college for me.
Really?
How
come?
Oh, he's so smooth, and the way he'd talk. He was talking to Mrs. Getty one morning, and he was talking about this one particular horse who was not the best horse in the world, and he was saying, well, you know, he's a bit slow coming to hand. And when he got off the phone, I said, you should have just said he's a bit slow. He goes, you know I can't tell Mrs. Getty that. A bit slow coming to hand.
But look, I mean, we see great trainers in the sport day in and day out, right? But what makes a guy like John Gosden or Bob Baffert or Todd Pletcher, the guys that are elite in this sport, what makes them so much better than your average everyday trainer?
I think it's attention to detail, number one. You know, we all do the same things as trainers. We, you know, feed from the same feed companies and work the horses every 5, 6, 7 days, whatever your schedule is. And, you know, we all pretty much do the same thing, but I think it's the attention to detail that separates the top guys. A lot of them are single-minded. John Gosden's an interesting man in the fact that he has other interests and he knows how to go out and have fun. I could tell you some stories, but they'd have to be off the air. But he's an amazing human being, John Gosden, and a lot of fun to be around away from the racetrack. But when he's at the barn, it's all business and very subtle things that other people might miss, he picks up.
Does his filly Enable, the two-time ARC winner, does she go favored in the Breeders' Cup turf?
I think probably. You know, it depends on how many Euros come over here and bring money. But I think she probably will.
What about Roaring Lion? I know he won't be the favorite in the Classic, but do you like the decision to go there?
I think if John's running him, I say I like the decision.
Yeah.
You know, the dirt's a question, but he's done it before.
He did say in that interview that he doesn't want to run him on a wet track. There is rain in the forecast as of right now for next Saturday.
Probably shouldn't ship him because I'm pretty sure it's going to be wet.
There's a chance, right? There's a good chance. It could be wet. Friday right now, according to weather.com, looks okay. They're calling for 57 degrees and mostly sunny conditions. But on Saturday, 50 degrees. And it does show rain in the forecast. Well, that can change. We're a week out. But
oh, well, this is Kentucky. It can change hour to hour, minute to minute. You know, we've all been at Churchill Downs where it was sloppy for the first race and fast for the last and actually accurate, not just called fast, but actually fast. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But the forecast is not what we'd hope for going into the Breeders' Cup.
All right, don't forget, we do have a poll question out there. You can vote at HRRN on Twitter. We'll pass along the results coming up later in the show. But we asked you which group is going to win more races at the Breeders' Cup. You have the 14 championship races. Will it be the U.S.-based runners, the international runners, or will it be a tie? Will they finish 7 apiece? You can vote right now at HRRN on our Twitter feed. Jonathan Thomas, the trainer of Classic Contender Catholic Boy, will be with us 9 o'clock Eastern. Terry Finley, right around 9:20 Eastern from West Point Thoroughbreds. And then you're going to hear from trainer Robert Cowell, another European trainer who sends out Pocket Dynamo in the new Juvenile Turf Sprint. So all of that still to come, including our Industry Star of the Week. We'll get to that segment when we return. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule on the track and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Derek Bellis have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first crop of Gainesway sired yearlings selling up to $1.35 million and a Keeneland September book one average of $498,000. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire with 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Amaliant and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Zapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at three, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Zapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
The Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National Racecourse is Wednesday, November 21st, featuring the $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes and the $100,000 Swaterra Stakes and the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. All three stakes will be part of the Early Pick 4. The Holiday Racing Festival at Penn National Racecourse, Wednesday, November 21st. First post time is 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Spirit Animal still about seven lengths behind, starting to put in a mild bid as they come to the top of the stretch. Some like it hot brown. Off the turn in front, Social Paranoia two lengths behind. And then it's 40 under and Opry on the far outside, coming into the final furlong. Some like it hot brown still there. 40 under now ranges up alongside. And Manny Franco and 40 under have taken the lead in late stretch. And 40 under takes the Pilgrim. Some like it hot brown was second best. Social Paranoia was third. And Opry was fourth.
That's Larry Colmus with the call of the Pilgrim Stakes. 40 under getting the victory in that race. He's on his way to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf for trainer Jeremiah Engelhart. And Jude, you and I had the opportunity this past week to spend a full hour with Jeremiah on our trainer talk show, which is presented by Fasig Tipton. Folks can tune into that show every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 Eastern here on the network.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad that you kept it right back to the almost the same exact time when you had me on before, and this way hopefully the results will stay the same. I'd rather not have the drama of being put up by DQ, but I hope it just brings me good luck.
Yeah, good point. We figured we'd try to help you out there, because after you did join us on this show, Breeders' Cup Week 2013, you did win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies with Rhea Antonia, and as you just pointed out, did it on DQ. So maybe a little better result this year with your juvenile turf contender 40 under. Maybe you don't have to sweat out the DQ.
That'd be nice. Although, you know what? Like you said, you're on pins and needles this whole week, just making sure everything goes as planned. And, you know, so right now everything's going very well, and hopefully he gets to run his race on Friday.
He's been very impressive his last two starts, and it looks like he's coming into the race the right way.
I think so. You know, his first work back after his the Pilgrim win was probably my most impressive work with him so far. And I really tried to gear him down a little bit in his last work in Saratoga on the grass, but he's just a horse that seems like with a little bit of experience in the grass, it seems to help him kind of bring out his potential that we thought he had.
What's it like training for Bill Parcells?
I would imagine his players could probably say the same. I guess it's pretty similar to, you know, being one of his players. You know, he puts a lot into it, and this is why he is in the game. He wants to have the, you know, the nice horses on the big stage, and, you know, this is a Super Bowl for him. And I can see, even if I wasn't a Giants fan growing up and I idolized him growing up, it's kind of surreal for me, because if I would have known this, you know, when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, I probably would have made a bigger stink of trying to get him back in the game then. But it's been, you know, there's just no, I can tell why he was a successful coach, and everything he puts in to football, I think he puts the same into his horses.
Yeah, you see him up at Saratoga, you know, pretty much every morning, you know, watching the works and you know, watching his horses go. And I mean, it's great. Does he give you a lot of input, or is he kind of more of a? I can't imagine him being laid back. You got to be the laid back guy in that group.
Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely, I would not say laid back. I don't know if that laid back is ever described him. You know, one thing that in one of our early conversations, I think this might even been before I even trained for him, but just one of the times I talked to him out at Saratoga, we had a conversation about seeing similarities in certain horses and comparing the two sports, horse racing and football. And I thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, he would reference himself, Bill Belichick, and certain players they saw, like Wayne Corbett, ends up being Wes Welker or Amendola, or, you know, Mark Bavaro ends up being Gronkowski, you know, Lawrence Taylor. I don't know if anyone could ever emulate him, but it's Willie McGinnis. It's, you know, Harry Carson might be Teddy Bruschi. You know, I think the similarities between the two sports and being able to recognize, you know, talent and seeing traits in certain horses and football players, I think there's a lot of similarity there.
Jeremiah, you said growing up as a Giants fan that you idolized the coach, Bill Parcells, and now you're training for him. You're the one kind of calling the shots and giving him the advice on what you think might be best for his horses. What's that like?
Well, I remember a famous football coach saying one time, when I think he was coaching the New England Patriots, he said, you know, they want you to prepare this really nice feast, this nice meal, but they won't let you pick out the groceries. I've had to use that a couple times on him, because I know it was him that said it when he was at the Patriots. So a couple times when I've liked a horse or something like that, I've said to him, I says, you know, you want me to prepare this really nice meal, but I can't pick out the groceries. And, you know, he gets a good chuckle out of it. But, you know, that's just somewhat of the banter that we have back and forth. And I think he, you know, deep down, he kind of, you know, when you're in the sport for that long in locker room and stuff like that, you're looking for something like that too in your next career, whatever you decide doing. And I think he probably enjoys a little bit of that, you know, between him and I, you know, that kind of humor.
Jeremiah Engelhart, our industry star of the week. You can go back and hear that entire Trainer Talk program at your leisure. It's posted on our website at horseracingradio.net. All right, second half of the program kicks off next. We'll do it with Jonathan Thomas, who is the trainer of classic contender Catholic Boy. That's hour two, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
It's Game Winner coming past the eighth pole, extending his advantage to more than a length over Rowayton. Gunmetal Grey is next. Game Winner. He's a habitual winner. He's the undefeated winner of the American Pharaoh.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Pavlik Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Pavlik Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on this Saturday morning. Rolling on. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Barron and Pontiff coming to you on the road from Central Equipment, which is on Red Mile Road here in Lexington. And happy to have you back with us. First half of the program featured interviews with Jeff Birch and Fritz Wideman from NTRA Advantage. Our thanks to them for coming by. Like all of our guests, they're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And we'll send that over to them. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Edging closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, they come up next Friday. Friday and Saturday. We'll be there all week long, beginning Tuesday morning next week with all of that coverage. You can visit horseracingradio.net for a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule, our listing of affiliates, and SiriusXM channel information. Going to be a busy week, JT.
Oh, no kidding. when did you figure that out?
19-plus hours of on-site coverage here on the network.
Yeah, that's only like 3.5 hours more than I do every week.
I will say nobody covers the Breeders' Cup like we do. We're going to bring you all kinds of interviews and commentary throughout the week. And, of course, we'll bring you that exclusive radio coverage of every single Breeders' Cup race Friday and Saturday. The only place you'll hear it on radio is with us on HRN.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of great racing and lots of talk. There'll be plenty of banter during the week. And the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday lead-in shows are always good to listen to because – people reveal things that you might not know, or it might put you on a horse that you weren't thinking about.
Yeah,
and it's good information and it's entertaining, so you'll want to tune into those for sure.
Our poll question of the day that you can weigh in on, we want to hear from you at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, goes like this: who will have more victories during the Breeders' Cup? And you have three choices: the U.S.-based runners, international-based runners, or will it be a dead heat? Will they each win 7? Well, right now, HRN Nation says it's all about the Americans. 83% of the votes coming in saying they agree with the Pontiff that it will be the U.S.-based runners, and that's welcome news to our next guest here on the program, trainer Jonathan Thomas, who sends out U.S.-based Travers Stakes winner Catholic Boy looking for a victory in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic Saturday afternoon. Jonathan, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Well, I appreciate it. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You got to like those poll results, don't you?
If only they translated into real life, yeah, for sure.
Who knows? Maybe they will. Catholic Boy is a horse that we saw. We've seen him several times this year on our HRN coverage, but we were there broadcasting the Travers Stakes when he absolutely annihilated the field in the Travers. Let's start by looking back on that performance. Just spectacular.
Now, it was it was kind of a culmination of what we've seen from this horse, over the past 15 months. He's just trained like a top shelf horse, and in the morning he's been kind of equally adept on both the turf and the dirt from a training perspective. And, you kind of have to be patient and wait till a little bit later in the year for some of these races to stretch out. And everything just came together from both a maturation standpoint from him, and then, from a racing standpoint, where we could kind of get into a good rhythm racing-wise with the Pennine Ridge and the Belmont Derby and the Travers. And funny enough, we, started out – the summer targeting all those races if everything worked out, and as things rarely do happen, you know, it all came together, which is, you know, it's just quite a feeling.
Yeah, that's very rare. What's also rare is a horse like him that can run on turf or dirt with equal aplomb. He, I mean, he's kind of a throwback to a John Henry type of horse or a Cougar the Second back in the day when I was a kid. Those horses were amazing, and I'm a big fan of his. You may or may not know that, but it's amazing that you used two turf races as a prep for the Travers, and you won all three. I mean, that's just a tribute to a really good horse and to your program.
No, I mean, he's always been a very honest and generous training horse, no matter what surface you put him on. I think the main thing for him is just getting that distance, you know, the mile and an eighth to mile and a quarter. And also, and Javier was a big part of this, you know, we came in with a little bit of a stronger horse maturation-wise, and we felt like we could maybe change tactics and be a little more aggressive with him. You know, when you know a horse can get a route of ground, truly, you know, you're not as afraid to kind of let them go ahead and get engaged and get into a rhythm and get forwardly placed, knowing that, you know, you don't have to be conservative trying to get the route of ground. And, you know, I think those tactics and that feedback from Javier and, you know, that really also was a big change in kind of the way we presented him in his races.
Jonathan, is Javier back aboard in the Classic?
He is, of course.
All right.
I think I'd get shot if he wasn't, but yes, so yes.
Yeah, all right, well, that's good news. Javier Castellano recently picking up milestone win number 5,000 in that Hall of Fame career. And again, Catholic boy set to go to the post in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Trainer Jonathan Thomas with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jonathan, you decided just to train him up to the Classic following that Travers win. Talk about that decision and what these past weeks have been like for Catholic Boy.
Well, there were a couple reasons we decided to train him up to the Classic. One, you know, the timing was such that, you know, if you were to fit a prep in, you know, you're either kind of rushing out of the Travers into a prep or you are rushing out of the prep into the Classic. And, you know, with a horse that has as much mileage and underneath him as he does, and you know, he's a very easy horse to ride, and so we're not really trying to learn anything about him, so to speak, that, you know, we felt it was the right move. Now, I'm certainly not putting him in a Gunrunner, Arrogate, American Pharaoh company, but, you know, those horses all, you know, came into the Classic with their last runs being at Saratoga. And, you know, we thought it was a good formula to kind of follow. And, you know, the horses historically run very well fresh. And, you know, some of his best efforts have been off a break. And, you know, so we thought we wouldn't change it and we would just follow suit.
Yeah, that's the fact that he's run well fresh before. I mean, that gives you the confidence to choose that path. You know, he's been training sensationally by all reports. Does the fact that he's three give you a little bit of pause taking on the older company, or is that an edge because you get a little weight off?
There's no doubt. I mean, listen, when you step out aside of your own age group and take on olders for the first time, and that's one of the biggest leaps there are in horse racing. You know, and he's a horse for us that's been a little bit of a later maturing horse. You know, I think he's really come into his own this summer, and a lot of that has to do with his physical makeup. You know, he's just put on weight and he's growing, and he's even grown since the Travers, you know, which ultimately leads me to believe, you know, his best days are ahead of him as a four-year-old. You know, there's certainly, you know, I think you need to look at the race with a whole new kind of perspective when you're running against older horses. You know, they're battle tested. They're a year stronger. They're a year ahead of you. So, yeah, I mean, it certainly, I'm not going to say it's a concern, but it's something I'm extremely aware of.
Jonathan, talk about your approach and your game plan to getting Catholic Boy ready for the Classic following that Travers win. What have you done over the past couple of months?
Well, the first 10 to 12 days, we just let him kind of have a mini break. So, you know, he was in our stable, but, you know, he got to go out in his round pen and graze, and, you know, we just kind of utilized, you know, the backside of Saratoga, which is a great place to kind of regroup. And, you know, then just started to set out a work schedule for him, which, you know, we set out to be six. We ended up missing a breeze 2.5 weeks ago due to a small virus. He had a little bit of a temperature for 2 days, and, you know, that's since rectified. I don't know that that really, you know, is going to compromise anything, but, you know, it's not ideal when you're trying to cultivate a plan and you miss one of them. But, you know, we're just looking for more of a continuation of what he's done, and that's just kind of get into a good schedule and you know, move well and kind of polish off his works with good gallop outs. And he did that at Belmont 2 weeks ago, and he did that at Churchill last Sunday. And tomorrow he's scheduled a breeze at 7:30, and obviously that'll tell us a little bit more. You know, unfortunately, there's been quite a bit of bad weather here. Track's sealed and sloppy, and, you know, hopefully that changes tomorrow.
Well, he's certainly got the pedigree to handle any type of surface, and he's proven with the dirt and turf thing that he's versatile. And I know as a trainer you hate to work a horse like that on an off track, but if anybody could handle it, I would imagine he would more than ready such a fantastic sire. And
there's a lot of reason to suspect from his pedigree that's the case. You know, if we're forced into a situation where we have to breeze over tomorrow, then we'll, you know, obviously we'll get a better look at it.
Jonathan, I'm not going to ask you what it would be like to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, because I know it would mean an awful lot and it would be really special, but have you allowed yourself the opportunity to even think about what that moment could be like?
I mean, not really. I mean, for me, I'm interested in kind of a body of work for this horse and, you know, thinking about into next year. So, yeah, it's a big stop, no doubt, but, you know, we're you know, just hoping we can take him over there in the best spotlight and showcase him to the best of our abilities.
All right, Jonathan Thomas here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Jonathan, we'll get that gift to you, and we're going to look forward to seeing you next week at Churchill Downs, and we'll be there on Tuesday morning. We'll make sure we stop by and say hello and see the big horse, too. Good luck.
Please do, and I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks for joining us. Jonathan Thomas here on HRN. You know, his training approach, many people would describe it as, I guess, unconventional, right? You talked about using the two turf races to prep for the Traverse Stakes. That's highly unusual. Don't see that happen very often, but he wins them both, and then he goes on and takes the Traverse impressively. Then he decides, okay, we're not going to give him another prep race. We're going to come in off of a long layoff and run him fresh. Well, and as he pointed out, that's worked out pretty well for some horses in recent years. So his approach is unconventional, but it seems to be an approach that a lot of trainers are shifting to, and it seems to be working.
Well, especially for a horse like this. I mean, he's proven his versatility in almost every area. That's what makes him such a good horse. I think a lot of people, you know, have dismissed him in the past. But after that Traverse victory, he's a hard horse to dismiss. I mean, he's a very talented horse, and I happened to catch on to him early on. I don't know why. I just recognized that there was something there that you didn't see in the average horse. And, you know, I've been a fan since he ran, especially since he won that race at Saratoga, the With Anticipation,
yeah,
at 12:21.
That's stuck in your head.
Yeah, that's stuck in my head. But yeah, he just reminds me of a throwback kind of horse. I mean,
yeah.
I compare him to John Henry all the time. He's a little bit better looking than John Henry, but you know, he's just one of those horses. You put him out there and he runs. He doesn't care if it's grass or dirt. He's not finicky. You know, More Than Ready, too. I mean, you know how much I like More Than Ready.
Rush Rush.
Yeah, that was a horse I got you in. And one of the reasons I got you in Rush Rush was because he was by More Than Ready.
Yep.
My brothers and I campaigned the first More Than Ready Stakes winner, Ready to Live. And, Steve Asmussen trained her. I mean, I've been on More Than Ready his whole stallion career, too. And I don't know. I just think this horse is is a very special horse. And like Jonathan said, I'm not putting him in the same category as those horses, but I just think he has the potential to be another John Henry or another Cougar II, you know, which is so long ago that most people don't remember.
That's a heck of a compliment, though. And I think Jonathan would be happy if Catholic Boy could turn into John Henry for just a short time on Saturday afternoon. Just to, you know, kind of channel your inner John Henry and show up in the Breeders' Cup Classic at that one moment.
Yeah, it's very exciting, too, that they're planning on racing him next year, you know, which should be good for him.
Yeah.
Maybe even two more years would be good. I mean, imagine how good this horse could be as a five-year-old.
Oh.
I mean, he could do the gun runner thing. He's just a fantastic horse, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't win on Saturday.
Let me ask you this. We're about 1 minute away from our next commercial break. Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds coming up after that. As a former trainer, you've trained for 20 years. You've watched a lot of trainers. You've been around it now. Has training changed significantly over the past decade or so with what we're seeing with trainers' approach to getting horses ready for big races?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. In the old days, you know, a guy like Charlie Whittingham was the only guy that could bring a horse back off a six-month layoff and win a grade one. Now people do it all the time. It's a whole different life now. Horses are raced much more sparingly and, you know, for whatever reason. It's a lot different than it used to be in the old days.
All right, well, we are going to get to that commercial break coming up in just a couple of moments. Again, Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds is set to join us right after that. You're still going to hear from trainer Robert Cowell, one of the European-based trainers who sends out Pocket Dynamo in the newly created Juvenile Turf Sprint. Looking forward to that interview because it was fantastic from the folks at Racing UK. But want to remind you that you won't want to miss any coverage of the fall racing, including the Breeders' Cup, like only Blood Horse can bring you. You can follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day, or you can listen on your Alexa device. All of those are free. You just have to go to bloodhorse.com/daily for more. And, of course, for weekly coverage, including the feature stories on the horses and the people in our sport, you can count on the industry's premier weekly publication. That is Blood Horse Magazine and tablet. And this is pretty cool. Right now, for a limited time, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Fall Special. How about this? It's 12 weekly issues for just $12. That's right, a buck an issue for 12 issues. Go to bloodhorse.com/fall18 to sign up. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and be joined by Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds. He'll talk about his two Breeders' Cup contenders. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. I've spent the last 30 years of my life in the thoroughbred industry. I've been fortunate to be surrounded by great mentors and great clientele base and phenomenal horses as I've come up. I started out with my father at Highclere and was fortunate to raise Silver Bullet Day. I sold the likes of Captain Steve and Silver Bullet Day. 3 years ago, I started my own consignment and have been very fortunate to have a lot of success in a short amount of time due to the great clientele base I have and the good folks that send me really quality horses that are raised the right way and get into good hands for us. We hang our shingle at most every sale east of the Mississippi River, and we hope to see you somewhere to buy your next stakehorse at the Stuart Morris consignment.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
That's Barron and Pontiff coming to you from Central Equipment, one of the sponsors of this program. They are located on Red Mile Road right here in Lexington, Kentucky. They are specialists in farm and turf equipment. They've been doing it since 1972. You come in and see Jason Huber and the entire team here, and let me tell you, I have dealt with them for a couple of purchases, and they have been spectacular to work with right here at Central Equipment. So make sure you swing by. And if you're looking for a tractor or a mower or any kind of lawn equipment, generators, the chainsaws, they have it all. As Jude pointed out, even snow shovels, which we don't want to see.
No, absolutely
we're not ready
not.
For that yet.
No, I want to move to Florida.
Barbados.
Barbados.
What happened to Barbados? Well, now you want to go to Florida?
It's closer to Barbados.
We need to get Terry Finley to run a horse in Barbados in the Gold Cup.
You know, he actually nominated a couple.
I know.
But he hasn't run yet, but we need to get him down
there. We need to get
him
to pull that trigger. He's with us now here on the Equine Forum. He's got a couple of horses pre-entered for the Breeders' Cup. How about entering a couple for the Barbados Gold Cup, Ter?
Well, wait a second now. I got to buy a tractor, and I got to run a horse in the Barbados Cup. I don't know what it is. You guys are spending my money, so.
You don't need a tractor, and you've got to have a horse for the Barbados Gold Cup with all the horses you have. We just need to pick one out.
Yes, I agree. I don't need the tractor. I'm fully in accord about that. But, you know, we've thought about that. It's a little tough to get down there, but I know Ken Ramsey is, you know, taking all the glory for, what, the last 10 years. I know Jeff Lifson on our team has really tried to make that happen. It just hasn't all fallen into place yet, but I wouldn't rule it out because I know it's a cool trip, and they say they take great care of you down there.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Spectacular. Yeah, we can't say enough good things about it. And you're right with Ken. Ken's on another level down there. They absolutely love him. They love him because he wins. They love him. They hate him because he wins too, I think, part of it. But they love having him down there, and I know they love getting the folks from West Point down there too.
Your partners would have a blast.
I don't think that they like the fact that he takes their money and they brings it back to the States, but I know he's entertaining both before the race and after the race. So I think that's the price of admission for those guys down there with Ken Ramsey. So he's a great guy, and I really love the flavor that he brings to our game. I watched him in the Breeders' Cup, the video series that they just put on Facebook, and I said, I mean, he's got to be close to 80 years old, if not a touch past 80. And you look at the vitality that he has. And I only wish that I have, you know, when I'm 80, if I get there, that I have like 50% of the vitality and vigor and energy that a guy Ken Ramsey has. So he's a great, great inspiration for our game. He really is.
Yeah, well, many people would say that you are too, Terry. You put your money up, you run your horses, you do everything that an owner is supposed to do, and you've created these racing partnerships through West Point that are unparalleled, and you've had so much success, and you're hoping for more coming up in this year's Breeders' Cup. You have a couple of horses that were pre-entered, so let's talk about them. You have Gunmetal Gray, who is quickly becoming one of my all-time favorite horses, probably because when he broke his maiden, I was filling in on Express Bet Radio with Jude, and I actually picked him to win that race, and he performed with me, the weight of me, on his back, and he still won the race. So he's a super horse, in my opinion, because he could win after I picked him. And then you have Seven Trumpets, who is cross-entered into the sprint in the Dirt Mile. So I guess let's start with my favorite horse, Gunmetal Gray. Tell me about him.
Yeah, I saw that on a blog the other in a blog the other day. He said, "Mike, you're the human anchor." So I am surprised that we got home.
How good is that horse?
Somebody like you. Yeah, somebody you at the eighth pole. So, you know, he's a horse that we really thought a lot of. He's an exchange rate out of an include mare. So I know we flew him out to Jerry right at the beginning of the summer out of the OBS. We bought him at the March sale. We paid $210,000 for him. And I know they took a liking to him right away, and we were within a couple of days of entering. And he just got a little sick. He got a little bug. So that pushed our first start back until like the first or second week of Del Mar. And, you know, I thought he ran credibly. Got beat by a very good horse from out of the Baffert barn, which if you're in California happens on a pretty regular basis. And then we came back and we went two turns in the second start. And he ran really well, beat some nice horses. And we come back in the American Pharoah. And I thought had a perfect trip. We just weren't good enough on that day. And what turns out to be the favorite, or will be the favorite for the Breeders' Cup, a juvenile, was the winner that day, game winner. So, I mean, he's run against some really nice horses. I know he's got to step his game up, but you know what owner that has a horse in the Breeders' Cup is not in a position where they say, our horse has got to step up. You know, that's every one of us. What do we have, like 220 sets of connections? Every one of us, you know, the 14 of us that are gonna take the trophies away on Friday and Saturday, every one of us is going to have to run our best races. So it's exciting for everybody in all parts of the industry.
It looks like he's been training really well, too, coming out of that race, which is vitally important with these young horses.
Yeah, I do too, Jude. I saw Pridman wrote the fact that Jerry Hollendorfer said it was a very good work, which I think the follow-on comment was, for Jerry, that's like him standing up on top of the grandstand yelling and screaming. So, you know... Jerry's not a guy for hyperbole, and I feel good. And you know, a lot of times you get that vibe from your trainer and from his staff, and we're getting that vibe. So I think it's just going to come down to if we're good enough, and any of those other 13 in the juvenile don't have a really really great day. And if that happens, I think we got a shot to get the gold.
Terry, you mentioned the fact that he was beaten last time in the American Pharoah. He was second behind Game Winner, who is the likely favorite. He's undefeated, the likely favorite in this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He was 4.5 lengths behind him that day. What's the key? How do you make up 4.5 lengths and turn the tables here in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile?
That's a good question. I wish we would have had a little trouble, or we would have had something. I know we bobbled just a touch at the start of the American Pharoah, but you know, I know Game Winner had a really good trip, but you know, I'd like to say that the vast majority of horses that work out a good trip, they worked out the good trip because they had the talent to put themselves in the position to work out, you know, that garden spot and the garden trip. And we had every shot, although I do know, like at the quarter pole, I thought we probably were going to get beat 8 or 10 lengths. So the fact that he kept on, I think is a positive. And, you know, you just have to hope in a race that's got 14 starters as opposed to 5, as the American Pharoah did, that you got a shot to
to change the complexity of the race and the dynamics of the race. You know, there'll be more speed in the Breeders' Cup. And so you just hope, you keep your fingers crossed, the game winner is not as good as he certainly appears. I know Baffert's given the signals, and I'm getting from his comments that he really, really likes this horse. So, you know, you just, all you do is shake your head, and you just hope that over the last month, our colt's taken a step forward, which, you know, a lot of these two-year-olds in the span of a month or 45 days, right, they do take steps forward. So whether we take enough of a step forward to make up 4.5 lengths, you know, we'll know on Friday. But, you know, I do know we can't feel bad. We can't feel bad for ourselves that we're going to be third or fourth choice in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You know, so be it. I take that every year. And I think the other thing is that we've never run a horse in the Juvenile colt race. So, you know, that in and of itself is exciting.
This Baffert guy has really become a thorn in your side, hasn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. There's no doubt. I mean, you know, I talk to people, and you know, we have more horses. We got 22 horses on the West Coast now, which is by far the most we've ever had. And I tell people that are looking to get into the business or into one of our partnerships, I said, man, you want to go and follow the path of least resistance. You know, you come to New York and you run against a bunch of, you know, a really deep bench of horses. You go to California, the population's down. You can go up to Golden Gate. But the one big stalking horse is the Baffert Barn. And, you know, of course, there's some other guys out there. But every time you turn around, you know, you're in against a very well-bred and expensive or, you know, really touted horse out of the Baffert Barn. And, you know, but as we all say, if you're in the business and you don't like to compete and you don't like to put it out there every day that they run the races, you need to do something else. So, yeah, but he is, you know, he's there every time you turn around if you're on the West Coast.
All right, and you also have Seven Trumpets, who is cross-entered in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and into the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He'll have first preference into the Dirt Mile. Tell us a little bit about him, and which spot do you want to end up, the Dirt Mile?
Yes, we'll end up in the Dirt Mile. And that was just in a case something fell apart in the sprint, and it doesn't cost you anything more. So, yeah, Dale did that, and I was okay with that, and I was in full accord with that. So, yeah, a three-year-old, and they've done okay if you look at the stats. They've done okay in the mile. You know, the favorite in the mile, I was taking a look at that. Tommy Bellhouse is really into stats, and he gets all the books and on all the blogs. But the favorite's only 2 for 11 in the Dirt Mile. So,
ooh,
you know, it's an interesting race because, especially nowadays, you've got probably the upper level horses that would be pointing for the mile. As we all know, a good number of them are either going to the sprint or they're going to the classic. So it kind of carves that up a little bit. So, you know, we're in a decent spot. We've improved, you know, substantially since the beginning of the summer. We took a couple shots and we were on the Derby trail with them. We finished second at the beginning of the year at Aqueduct in the Jerome. And then we took a couple shots and we took a step back. We took a deep breath and realized that he was a miler. And I think he has run some really good numbers. And on top of that, he is 3 for 3 at Churchill Downs. He seems to love the place. He does a lot better training over that surface. And he's run every time he's run at Churchill, he's run really lights out. Now, whether that puts him in a position where he can hit the board or upset the apple cart and win the mile, yeah, I mean, that's what happens. These horses are tough horses. I think Catalina Cruiser is the horse to beat in the mile. And so it's exciting, and every horse in there is a really a legitimate horse, especially going a mile. So it'll be a fun.
Yeah, of course.
I was going to say Friday, but it'll be a fun Saturday with that dude.
Yeah, Catalina Cruiser, the likely favorite in the dirt mile. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but he's not 3-for-3 at Churchill Downs like Seven Trumpets is. So there's a feather in his cap there, too. So
absolutely.
Look out.
Yeah, his last two races have been excellent, I thought. They've surpassed his former Brisnet speed figures, and he's been super game. I think he's really starting to come around now, and he could be an important horse as we head into the new year. I mean, I think if you were going to take a shot, this is a good time to do it.
Yeah, I agree, dude. You know, the thing about it is, you know, Dale Romans, who, you know, we've been together a long time, and we trust each other explicitly. And I know he gives it to us straight. And I know right after he ran at Parks in the Gallant Bob, you know, he thought that was a little short for him, and he. I know right away he said, unless something happens, I'd like to take a big shot at the dirt mile. The interesting thing is there's a 7/8 stake on Friday for straight three-year-olds for $200,000, which we probably would have been 5-2 in. So, you know, you kind of balance that and you say, what, we're going to be 15 or 20-1 at least in the mile for $1 million against being 5-2 or 3-1. And that's kind of, you know, those are the things I think if, you know, you're managing horses at the level we are in a spot like this, you balance that and you just try to, you try to come to a good decision. But I wish that race wasn't there because that kind of complicated things. But, you know, that's all part of trying to do the job and to make good decisions with these horses.
Well, Terry, it's always a delight to have you on the show with us. Really appreciate the visit this morning. We're going to look forward to catching up with you next week when we get to Churchill. Of course, all of our more than 19 hours of coverage begins Tuesday morning from the backside at 8 a.m. Eastern. So we'll look forward to catching up with you there. And all the best with Seven Trumpets and all the best with the big horse, Gunmetal Gray.
So I appreciate that. Always a pleasure to be on with you guys. And I just throw a plug out for EquestriCon and for OwnerView, two important events that are going on over the course of the week. And I think indicate the real dedication that the people that run those two events are putting forth to try to grow our great business. So EquestriCon and OwnerView are two things I would suggest people, if they go to the website and they learn more about it, and if they have a shot to get out and to enjoy those two events.
Well, it's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up very quickly before we get to the break. HRN, the official radio partner of EquestriCon, we're going to have a booth there at the trade show part of it, so make sure you stop by and say hello and get a free gift when you come by the booth. And I'll be moderating a panel at OwnerView on Tuesday afternoon. So make sure you you stop by there, too. Both of those outstanding events, and Terry, you're spot on with that. Great ways to introduce new people to the game and grow the sport in ways that are unique and a little bit different. So, yeah, great job.
All right. See you guys at Churchill. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Good luck. All right. Terry Finley, West Point Thoroughbreds here on HRRN. And, yeah, we'll see. Seven Trumpets, Gunmetal Gray. We'll see if they can pull it off. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more Breeders' Cup and tell you about a way that you can help out a couple of the best charities that we have in the sport today. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family.
If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired four millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include four-time graded stakes winner Miss Sky Warrior, three-time graded stakes winner Sharp Samurai, multiple stakes winner Bell Harbor, and Dubai Group 3 winner Shamal Nibras. Last year, his two-year-old sold up to $540,000, while his yearlings fetched up to a whopping $575,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two? Two grain bread. Let me get a taker for two grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three? Three grain sub bread. Three is not enough. How about four? Four grain. Who wouldn't want four grains? Jimmy John's, still a no. Let's go five, five, six, seven, eight. Want to make it rain? Eight grain, Jimmy John's, still a no. All right, what about nine? Nine grain wheat bread?
Wheat, yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new nine grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new nine grain wheat sub. Jimmy John's, wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But we've got a clear leader in the upper stretch, Diego Sainz in 9th Street. They've got a big lead. It looks insurmountable as they straighten away. Coming to the 16th pole, this is a dominant performance tonight by 9th Street, looking so good in the Jean Lafitte at Delta Downs.
9th Street rolled to an impressive victory in the Jean Lafitte Stakes at Delta Downs this past weekend, winning by 8 lengths, making the son of Darley Stallion Street Boss your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss, the fastest son of the Great Street Cry. Only Tappet, Curlin, and Malibu Moon top Street Boss's three-year-old Dirt Grade 1 winners in the past 5 years. Street Boss has 21 weanlings or in full mares selling at Keeneland November. To learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Here comes Accelerate. Accelerate moves up sharply at the eighth pole. He's gone straight past them. Accelerate does just that. He has the Big Cap Gold Cup double at his mercy. Accelerate running right away.
Accelerate, Joel Rosario shaking the reins at him. He's opened up six, 7 lengths as they turn for home. Pavel second, the other just racing for third money. And it is all Accelerate clear by double figures with a 16th of a mile to go. They said he would overwhelm this field, and he certainly has.
A riveting renewal of the awesome again. Accelerate on the outside with his head in front close to home. West Coast running out of puff has given a good account of himself, but Accelerate keeps powering on. Accelerate 2.5 lengths coming away to beat West Coast and Isotherm.
Well, how about that year for Accelerate? Just unbelievable, pulling off wins in the Gold Cup, the Pacific Classic, and the Awesome again. And he is the likely favorite in the Breeders' Cup Classic on Saturday afternoon. Of course, that is a race that will culminate our coverage here on the network as we bring you roughly 19 hours of Breeders' Cup Week coverage. If you're wondering about that, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can click on our slider that takes you right to our Breeders' Cup Week schedule. You'll be able to see all of the SiriusXM information, all the affiliate information, where you can listen locally, and of course you can tune in throughout the country on affiliates as well. You can head over to horseracingradio.net and see that schedule. Looking forward to bringing you all that coverage here on HRRN. Going to be a busy week, and we are privileged that this will be 12 consecutive years, JT, that we will have provided the exclusive radio broadcast of the Breeders' Cup. We started in 2007 at Monmouth with that rain-soaked event, and we've gone every year since, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful relationship. We can't thank the folks at Breeders' Cup enough, and really looking forward to getting over to Churchill next week and getting that all started.
Yeah, it's the least they could do after I got soaking wet for 2 days.
You did. You were in the paddock at that point, right?
I was in the paddock. I have my tree at Monmouth Park that I thank every time I go to Monmouth Park for keeping me somewhat dry. I loved that Breeders' Cup, though. That was a great Breeders' Cup. Unfortunately, the weather did not cooperate, but I thought it was an outstanding event. And I know it's hard to get hotels and stuff around Monmouth, and the Breeders' Cup may never go back there, but I really enjoyed it, and I'll never forget it, that's for sure.
6 days, 5 hours, 35 minutes until it all kicks off at Churchill Downs, that 35th Breeders' Cup World Championships. And we are doing something kind of fun and different to raise money for two outstanding charities that we have in the sport, the PDJF, which is the official charity of HRN, and Old Friends Retirement Center here in Georgetown, Kentucky. And it is Dude versus Jude, and it's underway now.
Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the battle at the Breeders' Cup. In this corner, weighing 12 pounds, 4 ounces, hailing from parts unknown, the cat with one name, the kitty with no pity, the feline who will make you reason, Dude.
I don't care how big you are. Come out fighting.
And his opponent from Southern California, weighing none of your damn business, the dapper handicapper, the better, the pontiff of the pick four, Jude.
Bring it on, you little varmint. I'll geld you like Sunnyside.
It's a battle for Breeders' Cup supremacy. It's Dude versus Jude. Let's get ready to handicap.
Well, there you have it, Dude versus Jude. It comes your way with the Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday, and here's the way it works. Dude the Cat, who is named for Game On Dude, who is now retired to Old Friends, he's playing for Old Friends. That's the charity that Dude is playing for. Jude will be playing for the PDJF, and here's the way it's going to work. Both Dude the Cat and the pontiff of the pick four, Jude Feld, are going to select one horse in every Breeders' Cup race, and they'll have a mythical $2 across-the-board wager on that horse. Whoever ends up with the highest bankroll at the end of the 14 races will be declared the winner. Two-thirds of all money that is donated to our Dude versus Jude handicapping contest is going to go to the winning charity. The other one-third going to the losing charity so that nobody gets shut out. So we're raising money for both charities here. And you can donate starting right now. That's on our website, horseracingradio.net. We have a banner, a button on our website right there at the top of the homepage. You scroll down just a little bit right below the sliders, and there is a Dude versus Jude banner. It takes you to a donate button. You click on that. You can donate $1. You can donate $1 million. But, again, all of the monies that are collected, 100% of those going to those two charities after the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, well,
are you ready?
Don't get old, because they'll match you up against a cat.
Are you ready? We're going to actually have videos of Dude making his selections before each race. By the way,
I'm ready. I'm definitely ready. I've been working on this for the last 3-4 weeks, so, and I've got more work to do. But yeah, I'm ready.
I sent you a video of Dude training the other day. Did you get the video?
I did get the video. Yeah. Yes, he looks very serious. He's a mean sucker, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, he is. He's tough. I mean, there's pictures of Dude the Cat on our website.
His owner is one of the kindest, nicest men that I know. I don't know how he got saddled with Dude, but anyway, Dude's tough.
He said Dude had some issues yesterday. I guess that he had urinated on some clothing. Eric Zimney, by the way, with Charlestown, is the owner of Dude. Right. And he had urinated on some of Eric's clothing. So he doesn't know if he's getting nervous or if he's just kind of getting into, you know, game day mode. He's not sure. But there's something going on with Dude right now. He thinks maybe he's a little bit nervous about taking on the pontiff.
Yeah, well, he should be a little bit nervous. But, you know, his handicapping style is
geld you like funny side, by the way. That was great.
Well, he's already gelded, though, I think, Dude, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
I believe
I would assume.
Yes. I would think so.
The ultimate equipment change, as you would say.
Yes, absolutely. But, I don't know. I've never handicapped against a cat before.
Yeah. All right. very quickly, we do have to get a hold of Darren Rogers over at Churchill Downs. He is going to join us here momentarily to give us a preview of what's happening, and we're going to do that here in just a second. But let's do this. Let's go ahead and have a quick word for the KTA, KTOB. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and visit with Darren for the last portion of the program. When you talk about the KTA, KTOB, well, you have to talk about the Breeders' Cup World Championships because they return here to Kentucky, and that two-day event has purse money totaling more than $28 million and will be held next weekend at historic Churchill Downs. Of the record number 221 horses that were pre-entered, over half were bred in Kentucky, more than all other states combined. And big news for horseman racing, Kentucky breds at this year's fall meet at Churchill Downs, well, here's the deal. Due to the success of Derby City Gaming, eligible Kentucky breds will be running for an additional $800,000 in KTDF money. Also, approximately $1.3 million has been added to the overnight purses for the fall meet from Historical Racing. One thing's for certain, it pays to breed and race in Kentucky. Visit KentuckyBred.org. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up with Darren Rogers next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile, Derek Dunnes, have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Emollient for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first crop of Gainsway sired yearlings selling up to $1.35 million and a Keeneland September book one average of $498,000. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire with 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Castleton Lions is home to Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting Graded Stakes Place filly Safe to Say and Stakes Place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Racing fans, come to Santa Anita this weekend for great racing and good times. The Grade 3 Autumn Mystics for three-year-old fillies at a mile on turf will highlight an 11-race program. Join us on Fridays for the $1 Stronic 5, featuring a record low 12% takeout, and be sure to play the 20-cent Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot every day with consistently big payoffs and the chance to hit for a life-changing jackpot score. Special early first post time on Saturday is at 12 noon. Admission gates open at 10 a.m. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren Rogers, the Senior Director of Communications, is with us from Churchill Downs now. And Darren, my apologies, I'm a moron. I was supposed to call you about 5 or 6 minutes ago, and I got talking about our Dude versus Jude handicapping contest and completely spaced it. My bad. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, but want to get you on.
No. Dude versus Jude is much more interesting.
Well, yeah, that's going to be fun. Whose side are you on, Team Jude or Team Dude?
I'm always on Team Jude.
Ah, thank you. I was hoping you'd support me. We've been friends a long time.
I'm on board, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, we've talked a lot about Breeders' Cup. So let's do this, Darren. We've talked a lot about Breeders' Cup, and in the interest of only having a few minutes, I want to make sure we talk about that Churchill Fall Meet, because it's not just about Breeders' Cup. Tell us what people can look forward to.
Well, it's going to be a spectacular meet. The 21-day stand kicks off tomorrow, 14th annual Stars of Tomorrow, where each of the 11 races is for nothing but two-year-olds. The two stakes races are the Rags to Riches, and then we have the Spendthrift Juvenile Stallion Stakes and the Rags to Riches. One of those marquee stars, or I think that's a future star, is that Take Charge Angel for Brad Cox. Really looking forward to watching her stretch out a little bit to a mile in advance of maybe a test in the Goldenrod. But, the prize money is absolutely massive now. We opened up in mid-September the new state-of-the-art historical racing machines at Derby City Gaming at the old, Trackside Louisville location. And it's fueling prize money. We are already raising the purses for the fall meet. The average, take out the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup World Championships, our average daily prize money will be $648,000 a day. That's about a 30% jump from last year when we paid just under $500,000 a day. So just to put it in perspective, take a look at the maiden special weeks. They're going to be $76,000. Last year they were $60,000. The allowance races are ranging from about $78,000 to $90,000, and a year ago they topped out at $72,000. Really, the racing is going to be absolutely spectacular. Large fields, less competition this time of year. We typically average about 8.9 horses a race. That's what we did last year. I think we'll challenge that with this record prize money.
Well, you got a lot of horses coming from all over, and a lot of them are probably going to stay, huh, and hang out and run some more after the Breeders' Cup's over.
Yeah, I would think so. The undercard is, it's shaping up. I think the Clark Handicap at the end of the meet is going to be luring some horses of some considerable interest. I'll tell you what, going back to the Breeders' Cup, we had a wave of 22 euros arrive about 1:45 in the morning last night, including Enable. The second wave of Euros comes in later today, and then tomorrow morning, I think there's about 15 Breeders' Cup workers scheduled here. So, we'd like to see some of them stick around, we'll see what happens. But I know a lot of the top horsemen from around the country are leaving some horses here for the fall.
Yeah, it's going to be a great meet, and again, it all begins tomorrow. Stars of Tomorrow program, all the two-year-old races, and then on Friday of next week, we'll have coverage of every Breeders' Cup race, and the juvenile races are the highlight on Breeders' Cup Friday this year, and then all the other races coming up on Saturday, and again, all that coverage coming your way here on HRRN. Darren, want to say thank you for all your help and all your support. We're going to be there starting Tuesday morning at our Red Brand tent on the backside, and can't wait to get over there and bring people all that coverage. Thank you so much, my friend.
Looking forward to seeing you guys. All the best.
All right, Darren Rogers. Here on HRN, again, my apologies for cutting him a little short there this morning, but it's Breeders' Cup week, JT. We've got a million things going on, and we kick it all off Tuesday, and let's do this thing.
Yeah, I'm ready.
12th consecutive year. If you want to see a complete schedule, just head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. Don't forget, weigh in on our poll question and support Dude versus Jude for PDJF and for old friends. You can donate right now on our website, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to Jeff Birch, Fritz Wideman from the NTRA, Terry Finley, Jonathan Thomas, and Darren Rogers for being with us this morning on the program. For our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, for Chauncey, Sean C., with us here on site, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Go Steelers!